All right, open your Bibles this morning as I share with you a little bit and teach you this morning. I'm going to teach you on the subject of how to develop great faith. Thank you for all that enthusiasm. Since it's faith is what pleases God. Amen. It's impossible to please God without faith. And, you know, there's all different types and levels of faith. But Jesus talked about two people that had great faith. And one of these instances here in the Bible is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. And something about when Jesus said, "You have great faith." I found out that when somebody had great faith, it was because they had the ability to use that faith on behalf of somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
See, great faith has the ability to use that faith for others. Now, let me qualify that, because faith requires that you and I operate in love. And if love is not operating in your life, you're going to be a selfish person. You're not going to concern yourself too much about others. But God has called us into the body of Christ. Not only is it good to be in church this morning, but it's good to be the church. I said it's good to be the church. Amen. Your body is what? The house. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. So let's read. I just want you to get a revelation this morning that all things are yours.
Amen.
In fact, let's say it one time. It just sounds. You see, when you first begin to discover things in the Bible, it's like a treasure chest. And when you read things like, "All things are mine," it's almost like it sounds too good to be true.
Amen.
And so we just read over that and say, well, it must mean something else. So today I want to show you how to have great faith. Where that you know that you know that you know who you are in Christ. Yes. And how some of you hesitated a while ago when I said, "Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe." Now here's a story, and it's almost like every time you see one of these incidents here in the Word of God, it's like the person didn't come from a religious background. It's like they really didn't know anything very much about God. They just got exposed to somebody that was talking and demonstrating and showing about God, and they chose to believe it. It's so, so important that we unwash our brain that has been indoctrinated either by religion or through the world system. It's so important that we learn to believe and receive what God said. Now, here in this passage, it's talking about this centurion. Now, this centurion is a Roman soldier. He's not a Jew. He's not a Hebrew. He wasn't raised up in Judaism. He wasn't raised up in the Hebrew culture. But yet, he got around Jesus. See, something happens when we get around Jesus. Something happens when we get exposed to the Word of God. And so, it's contaminating. Well, I can stand some contamination all day long if it comes from the Lord. Amen? I'd rather be contaminated by the Word of God than to be contaminated and infiltrated into my mind to be full of doubt and unbelief and negativity and, "Oh, is me," and having those pity parties which nobody likes to go to except you. And so the devil this morning does all that he can do to keep the Word of God from going down into your heart. But I'm going to say to you right now that the devil is not going to win. The devil is not going to keep you from growing and developing in great faith. Now we got to see what the characteristics are. We got to see what great faith really is. Well, he said in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 8, it says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him," he said, I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word." Now, we're going to talk about great faith. And here's one of the things, or one of the characteristics that really shows whether you have great faith or not. Now, he said, "I'm under authority. I understand authority." He said, "But all you have to do is speak a word, Jesus, and what? And my servant will be healed." He said, "For I am," verse 9, "a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, now look at this, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." All the people that could have had great faith, all the people that were church people, and Jesus is singling out this one person saying, "This person has great faith." How many would like to have a testimony on your tombstone that says, "This man, this woman had great faith"? Verse 13, if you'll just drop down there. "And Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you.'" So what this centurion really said is, "Jesus, all you have to do is just speak the word. When you speak the word only," he says, "I believe my servant will be healed." Now that's what Jesus called great faith. Now there's another instance. Let's just go over to the book of Romans chapter 4. And you know, this other lady, this Canaanite woman who Jesus called her a dog. Now, I won't go look at that story this morning because of time, but it's the other scripture reference, only two that I can find, where Jesus said they had great faith. And again, she was pursuing faith for healing for her daughter. And so we see that great faith involves a love, not just a love for God, but a love for somebody besides yourself. Now, a lot of times we use faith to get things for ourselves, and that's great, that's good. But we've got to graduate to the place where we can use our faith to help others. Amen. Just like we come and receive the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God helps us in a particular situation that we're in today. Sometimes the Word of God is for us to help somebody else that's in a situation. Amen. Whatever it is, it's either for you right now or for you in the future or for you to help somebody else. Because faith is always acting. Amen. Faith is not just believing, but it's acting on what you've heard. Amen. And so here's somebody that came out again of another kind of worship, came out of a foreign and a strange land. The Bible calls Abraham the father of our faith. Now again, it's somebody that God could choose, now listen to this, that would hear his word and obey it. Great faith hears the word of God and obeys what they've heard. Now, why did God choose Abraham? We were just singing some songs a while ago about Abraham. But if you read the account in Genesis, the Bible says that Abraham believed God. And because he believed God, that's how Abraham became righteous. But you know what else it says? God chose Abraham because he knew that Abraham would teach his children to obey the word of God. Now that's important because, as we said last week, that you really don't have success unless you have a successor. Amen. In other words, if somebody is going to teach you the Word of God and take the responsibility to teach you the Word of God, then you need to take that serious so that you can teach somebody else the Word of God. And if you have children, that is your first church. Those are your first disciples to make. Can I hear a better amen? And so we don't want to just stop by coming in here to the church house and hearing a great message or hearing a bad message or hearing any message. But we want to receive the Word of God because hearing the Word is what's going to produce faith. Hearing from God is what produces faith. So God calls this man out of a foreign and out of a strange land because, first of all, he picked a man that would obey him, just leave everything, forsake house, land, father, and mother, and come to the place in which he would call him. And he knew that he could put the word in him and that he would put the word in his offspring. And so we pick this up in chapter 4 of Romans, if you're there, say amen. And verse 16. Now, we have to constantly see this characteristic of great faith if we're going to develop in it. It says, therefore, it is of faith, verse 16, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So we're told that Abraham is the father of faith. Now, we know that when God called Abraham, his name was not Abraham, but it was Abram. And God changed his name to what? Abraham. Abraham is the Hebrew word for the father of multitude. Now, why is that important? Well, let's read the next verse. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, when he called him Abraham, did Abraham have any offspring? Did he have any children? But yet God is calling him what? The father of a multitude, or the father of many nations. God is speaking something that he sees before he sees it. That's important if you are going to develop in great faith, because whatever you see, you can have. I said, as far as you can see, that's what you can have. A lot of people don't have much because they don't see much. But when you walk by faith, and I'm talking about when you allow faith to reside on the inside of you, the way that faith becomes activated and comes alive inside of you is because you begin to meditate upon what God has spoken to you. Meditation begins to bring revelation. When we meditate means what? It means that we begin to say what God says. We say it over and over and over until it's not just a memory storage. It's not just up there in our mind, but it's down in our hearts. If we're truly going to walk by faith, it's not because we're full of head knowledge. It's because we are full of heart knowledge. It's because we know, that our God can. We know that our God is able. We know what the will of God is. When we know the will of God is when faith begins for you and I. And so here we have Abraham, his name being changed to the father of many nations. Now look what it says, in whom, I'm in verse 17, it says, in whom he believed God. Everybody say, he believed God. If we're going to develop in great faith, we've got to believe God. We can't believe what the world says. We can't get caught up in the world's system and expect to operate in the faith of God. God supersedes. God's method overrides the world method. God, remember, puts super on your natural and you become supernatural. God wants us to operate in supernatural, the life of God, which comes out of the low life or the low level. Now, when I say things like that, please understand that if you're walking in the world's way, you're walking in a low level of life. Now, I know you can accumulate and you can acquire a lot of things in life, but if it's not in God, it's still at a low level. God wants you to come up to a higher level. And when you begin to develop in the Word of God and let faith become active in your life, you're coming to a higher level. God is on a high level. God is not operating down at the low level realm. God will reach down to pull you out of the low level. I said God will reach down and pull you out of the low life so that he can bring you up into the high life. Because the high life is where the kingdom of God is operating. Amen. Well, here's Abraham. It says he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, does everybody understand that statement? Because this is a principle of faith of calling things that be not as though they were. That's what we call having faith, seeing something in the realm of the Spirit before we ever see it manifest. See, the world has a saying, you know, when something is difficult, when something's hard or something looks impossible, the world has the expression, no way. I mean, have you ever heard somebody say, no way, when you're facing a tough situation or you're facing an impossibility or a crisis? You know, there's always somebody around saying, no way. Well, don't ever say no way in the presence of God. Amen. Because God has always got a way. Amen. I'm sure when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and there they were faced with the Red Sea and behind them was the massive army of Pharaoh, somebody in the army of Pharaoh was saying, no way now. But how many know the Red Sea did split and God made a way? You see, there's always somebody that's wanting to doubt or unbelief, and it may be somebody you know. Amen. It may be somebody that's very close to you, but you got to make sure you don't fall into the trap of doubt and unbelief. Amen. Those three Hebrew children, I'm sure there was somebody standing beside the furnace that day when they threw them in there and said, "They ain't no way they're coming out." But you know what? They did come out, and they were not even singed, and the ropes that were binding them were burned. Can you imagine the fire of God, the power of God, burning the ropes that had those three Hebrew children bound, but they didn't even burn, and they didn't even smell like smoke? I tell you, when there is no way, God makes a way. Daniel, I could just keep going all day long in this kind of stuff, because in that lion's den, I'm sure somebody saw those hungry lions. How many know that in the natural, you don't go down in a little room full of lions that are hungry and come out unscathed without any teeth marks or without any bites or with any scratches? See, when somebody tells you no way, say, yes, there's God's way. See, great faith sees it. Great faith finds the Word of God on it. Great faith begins to declare it before they ever have it. See, our confession is that we believe that we receive. And then, what? There it is. We believe that we receive. There it is. While the world's looking at you like some of you looking at me. What's he talking about? Well, that's what I'm trying to teach you about having great faith. Our confession is that we believe that we receive. There it is. Now, between there it is and we believe that we receive, we've got to stay in faith. We've got to stay impatient. We've got to stay patient. Did I say impatient? We got to stay in patience. We got to have patience. From the time that we believe that we receive until there it is. We've already seen it in the realm of the Spirit. We've already seen it in our heart, the eye of our heart. Why? Because we've received a word from God. When we receive a word from God, that's when we know the will of God, so faith can begin. Faith always begins when the will of God is known. So if we don't know what the will of God is, we'll never operate in the level called great faith. Never one of us is given the measure of faith, remember? Every one of us that are born again has been given the measure of faith. But our faith has to grow in order for it to become great faith, in order for it to become strong faith. Well, let's read on here. It says, who contrary to hope. Now, faith in God's word is what gives us hope. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. You know, I found out this, that everything comes from God. But listen to me. Everything pertaining to faith comes from God. Our faith comes from God. The Word of God comes from God. What we're seeing in the realm of the Spirit comes from God. What we say, we believe that we receive until there it is, those patience that we have to exercise comes from God. The love that we have to operate comes from God. And then when we finally get the manifestation, it comes from God. Everything comes from God. You know why it works that way? It's so that man cannot get glory from it. Everything comes from God. The faith that will produce and move God's hand to the manifestation of what we're believing God for, it all comes from God because no man will get that glory. So we learn that great faith begins to speak the things that he's heard from God because he's meditated on the Word of God, and that meditation moves the Word of God from just being in our head down to our hearts. Because if it's in your head, how many know your head can give you all kinds of trouble? Your head can be stubborn. Your head can be rebellious. Your head can listen to other voices. Your head will cause you trouble. But if your heart is right, come on, if your heart is right, then your confession will be right. If your confession is right, then you're going to speak right things. And if you speak right things, then you can be in faith. And you can believe that you receive to the point that you can say, there it is. While everybody else is looking at you saying, you sure look funny. Well, just call me whatever you want, funny honey. I'm believing God. I believe that I receive. Somebody's saying, no way. Well, God's got a way. You see what I'm saying? That's how faith talks. There's a difference. When you get the Word of God, we'll find out in a minute, you start acting like God. Can you imagine? Of all the ridicule and all the finger pointing And the making fun when you start acting like God, who do you think you are? Well, I am made in the class of God. Who are you? You're made in the class of the devil. I just chose that I'm going to receive the class of God. Amen. I come out of the low life. That's where the devil is. I change fathers. I change gods. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So here's Abraham, who contrary against hope. Now, none of his environment. Now, listen to me for all you that blame your environment. None of his environment was conducive for him to believe God. He came out of a heathen nation. He came out of a place where they worshiped the moon and stars. He came from a family that did not know God. He came and he was getting old. His wife was old. In fact, by the time this story happened, he's 100, almost 100 years old, and his wife is 90 years old. How many know that's in the natural not a good time to start thinking about having your children? It says contrary to hope. But where does our hope come from? See, everything comes by the grace of God. You're sitting there saying, well, I don't know if I can believe. Shut that up. Well, no, get some hope. Get in the Word. And start meditating on what God says. Okay? Here's what it says. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believe. So that he became what? The father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. That was the promise that he gave Abraham. And he gave him the promise before it ever was in the natural. Before it ever was, God spoke and said, this is what will be. See, all we have to do is get the word from God. Now, it says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, they were well beyond childbearing age. They were well beyond the time in which they should have had children. But when there's no way, God makes a way. See, God can take your natural and put his super on it, and it becomes supernatural. And the world is sitting back saying, no way. And you're saying, yes, God's way. Are you getting this? Because faith people, they talk different. They act different. They're not intimidated by the world and the system and the pressure that people put on them because they look stupid in the eyes of the world. Amen. The foolish things, the Bible says, to the world. The foolish things to the natural mind. You look foolish coming to church as much as you do, some of you. You look foolish confessing the word. You look foolish when you say, and somebody asks you a question, well, let me consult my consultee. So you look foolish to the world. But that's all right. I said, that's all right. You're not of the world anymore. You're not of the world. Well, he says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. He did not stagger. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. How did he become strengthened in faith? Because every time somebody called his name, they were saying what God said. Every time you say what God says, you're strengthening your faith. Every time you say what you heard God say, then you are strengthening your faith. What better place is to get faith heard than your own self saying it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. It's best when you hear the word of the Lord from your own self. When you begin to say it, then your faith is strengthening. It's not staying in a normal state. It's not staying in a weak state. He said, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Everybody say, fully convinced. That what God had promised, He was also able to perform. Now see, it's got to get beyond your head in order to be fully convinced. How many of you are getting this? Because if it's just in your head, well, what did the preacher say? No, not what did the preacher say. What did God say? Well, I heard a sermon. No, what? Not what the sermon said. What does God say? I'm just trying to give you a sermon and preaching what the Word says. But the Word has got to get beyond your head down into your hearts. You've got to be persuaded that if you can find a promise in this Word of God, that God is well able to perform it. It says, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. But look, what's the next verse say? But also for who? Oh, but also for us. That tells me a great deal. Does it tell you anything? Amen. That this was not just for Abraham, but it was for his seed and for his descendants forever, an everlasting covenant. It tells me that I can choose. Whenever I get into the Word of God, it causes me to come to another level. Here's what I want you to get this morning. Whenever you get into God's Word, God will always bring you up to His level. Whenever I receive a word from God, it takes me out of the low level, the level in which the world operates on, into the level in which God operates on. Amen. That's why you and I are called to walk by faith. That's why it's important that we learn how to develop great faith. God has spoken and said, this is the year of open doors. This is the year of God's completion. 7 is a completion number that represents God's completeness. And some of you are letting the devil steal the promise of God from you. Some of you are letting what God has spoken in His Word, you're letting that promise be ripped right out of your sight. And listen to me, when we begin to speak God's Word because we received it from God, it causes us to walk different. Amen. As long as we're walking in that level, listen, there is no storm that can rage against us. Amen. There is no evil that can befall us. There is no demon that can come and shipwreck us. Amen. When Peter and all the disciples were in that boat, and that Sea of Galilee began to toss and churn, and the waves were sloshing, and they saw Jesus come walking across the water, something that was not natural, but yet Jesus at that point was still very much man. But He was doing something supernatural. He was walking on that water. And Peter said, Lord, is that You? Bid me to come. Now, what's the Lord going to do? He can't lie. He said, it's Me, Peter. What else can the Lord say? He put him in a box. He said, it's Me, come. And what did Peter do? Come on, what did Peter do? He stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the Word. Come, Peter. Come, Peter. As long as he was walking in the Word of God, he was walking in another level. And what happens is that we hear a word from God and we get to looking around and see if anybody's following. We look around and see if our buddies understand. Quit looking at other people. Other people are not going to get it unless they get a revelation of it. Quit looking down when you need to be looking at the Word. Quit looking at the response of other people when you need to be looking at what God has said. Because as long as you are, listen, operating on the word that you heard, you're operating and acting like God. Say, but only God can walk on water. Well, I beg your pardon. I said, I beg your pardon. The Bible says that you and I are sons of God. I didn't say we were God. I said we are in the class of God. Amen. To many as who believe, the Bible says, He gave them power to become the sons of God. Now here's another little thing. In Mark 16, the very last part where the Great Commission is there, you don't have to turn there, but remember what it says? Mark 16, 17. He can just put it up on the screen right quick. It says, these signs, everybody say signs, shall follow them that believe. But most of the church is looking for signs. And the Bible is very, very, very explicit that signs and wonders are to follow the believer. But yet, the average churchgoer is looking for a sign. I need a sign. I need a sign. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it tells us that signs are for the unbeliever. So which are you, a believer or an unbeliever? If you're a believer, He said, these signs shall follow you. He said, you shall cast out devils. You shall speak in other tongues. And listen, He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. But yet, we're having to be prayed for. We're having to beg and ask and do when we should be running the devil out of our own house. We should be running the devil out of our own body. We should be laying hands on our own self, running sickness back to the devil where it belongs. Are y'all here? I'm just telling you the state of the church. I'm just telling you the Spirit of God has said that it's time for the church to be the church and rise up to be a people of great faith. These signs shall follow those that believe. Shout, I'm a believer. Shout, I'm a believer, not a doubter. Well, if you're a believer, then those signs ought to be following you. You ought to be so full of the Holy Ghost. You should be so full of the power of God that demons tremble in your sight. I can't tell you, we get calls every week. Pastor, would you come and pray for us? We're being attacked. Well, why don't you run the devil out? Why do you want to let him pull all your hair out until I can get there? When you can do it right now. Say, how do you say that? Because you have authority over all the power of the devil. You have authority over demons. Come on, somebody. We got this thing back. Backwards. 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 Abraham had to get the word of God. And it really, really, really didn't matter what anybody else said. I'm sure there were people making fun of him. He's going to have a child? Look at him. He's on steroids. He needs Viagra. Look at him. But when there's no way, come on. He didn't pay attention. All I'm trying to show you, there was nothing in his natural environment to help him believe God. He had to choose to believe God. Amen. See, you're around negativity all the time. Some of you live with them. Some of you sleep with them. Some of you have relatives that just spew out doubt and unbelief all the time. You know what? You're going to have to learn to stand up and say, I don't want to hear that. I do not want that to enter in to my heart, what you are saying. Because what you are saying, you don't know. You don't know because you're living on a low level of life. And I've come up to a high level of life. Well, you think you're better than me? Well, I think I'm saved. I think I'm in God's class because the Word of God tells me that I am. I know they take it. Well, you think you're better than me. Well, no. You can come up too if you want to. You don't have to waller around in the devil. You don't have to waller around in demonic and world system, because if you are, then you're in a defeated system. You're in a defeated system. I want to walk in the realm where the angels of God are working. I want to walk in the realm where safety and protection is. I want to have a passion, not only for God, but a passion for His will. Because in His will is what? The safest place. Where are you going to get your protection from? You're going to get your protection from the ICE? The Secret Service? Do you realize, listen to me, with all the terrorists and all these evil guys out there, if they really want to get you, they can get you. Do you understand? There ain't enough armies. There ain't enough police. If somebody wants to come and strap a bomb to a baby and put it in a grocery basket or something, there's nothing in the natural that can stop all of those sources. They have a million cameras in London. And they still park two cars full of bombs and nails and gasoline right on the main street. What protects you and I? It's the angels of God. I said, we are protected under the Psalms 91 covenant. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. What man cannot protect? Listen, the angels cannot penetrate and get through. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited now. I'm just telling you, when you start developing great faith, you start acting different. You start acting like you can conquer the world. You say, well, it's looking like you're getting a little arrogant to me. No. Confidence. Arrogance says, I can do it by myself. I don't need no help from you. Confidence says, I hold fast to my confession. Oh, hallelujah. And I know who I am in Christ. And He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My confession is Psalms 119:19, that I have better understanding than my teachers. Amen. Now, you don't confess that because I'm your teacher. But I tell you what, I whole much rather learn by somebody else's mistake. Amen. Are you with me? All right. Now, what is or what was the purpose of God bringing, now listen to me, the children of Israel out of Egypt into a promised land? What was the purpose of God bringing out a nation unto Himself? Was it not to show the heathen nation that there is one God? There is the God who is the possessor of heaven and earth, the God who is the great I am, and was to provoke all the heathen to jealousy, the God of fire, the God of light, the God who said, I am God and I changeth not. They were to manifest, if you will. They needed, listen to me, they needed a miracle every day just to stay alive. Every day, God had to give them a miracle. He had to rain down manna from heaven just to sustain them. But we have come into the promised land. We are not now a nation that has come out of Egypt, but we are now one who represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ supposed to do in the world today? To proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory to God. But you know what? The church is still caught between those two opinions. We're still listening to all the stuff that says, well, you know, brother, everybody's God gets you to the same place. No, they don't. And quit calling me brother. Little Jehovah Witnesses. Well, you're going to have to prove to us that Jesus is God. Okay. Anybody ever had a Jehovah Witness come knocking on your door? Just tell them you want to lay hands and pray for them. Turn quickly to the book of Hebrews. Oh, how'd I get on this? I'm trying to help you have great faith. Come on, somebody. See, the church of Jesus Christ was to proclaim that Jesus is God, and that there is no other name, no other name in heaven or in earth by which men can be saved. It's certainly not in the name of Muhammad. It's certainly not in the name of Hare Krishna. It's certainly not in the name of anything else in this world except Jesus. Now, in the book of Hebrews, let me just read this to you right quick, because I can see some of you need help. It says God, Hebrews chapter 1. Are you there? Say amen. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Oh, look what it says. Having become so much better than the angels, as has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And what's His name, church? What's His name, church? Who is the church supposed to declare today? Okay. For which the angels He ever say, you are My Son today. Oh, you are My Son today. Have I begotten you? What happened? What does that mean? That means that Jesus really went to the cross. That means that Jesus really died on the cross. That means that Jesus really took your place. That Jesus went into hell. But God, the same Spirit that dwells in you this morning, is the same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. It says that He was dead, but now He is alive. He's not in the tomb. He's not dead like the other gods. Our God is alive. All the others can't say that, church. Come on, we don't serve a dead God. Why do we want to hang around and be in a dead church? Signs and wonders ought to follow a believer. There ought to be so much faith in here that if somebody comes in here full of the demons, I mean, they come up to the altar and they get free in Jesus' name. There should be no sickness. There should be no disease. We shouldn't have to get up here and read a report of who's in the hospital. And this one is attacked and this one is attacked. Man, we ought to be proclaiming the name of Jesus and that He's Lord. It says, I will be to Him a father, and He shall be to Me a son. But when He again brings the firstborn into the world, it says that all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne. Come on, somebody, read it with me. Your throne who? Jesus is God. Come on. Say it with me. Say, Jesus is God. God is Jesus. Nothing confusing about that. I didn't say three gods. There's God the Father. Be careful now. God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. But don't make any mistake. There's only one God. It says, oh, God is forever and ever. How about the Holy Spirit? I'm off on a little rabbit trail, but it's a good trail. Acts chapter 5. Oh, you probably won't like this one. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. Now, who's the Holy Spirit? It says, Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira. Now, we can learn a lesson from these people. You ready to learn? I said, are you ready to learn? It says, Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Everybody say they sold something. And he, the husband, Ananias, Sapphira is the woman. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife, also being aware of it, and brought in a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the... Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? No, it's not a coincidence. There's two times in which God deals severely with people who robbed him. And both of them are not good outcomes. Amen. It's not good to mess with God's money. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Have you not lied to men, but to... Everybody say the Holy Ghost is God. See, he said the Holy Ghost. Now he's calling the Holy Ghost God. Amen. Are you here? So don't be confused about that. You serve one God. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Ghost. Don't let the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons or mummies or whatever. Come on. You better know who you are in God. Hallelujah. You've been called to show forth the praises of your God in this earth. Now, quickly. 1 Corinthians, I got back to where I wanted to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What are we talking about? How to develop great faith. If you're still here, say amen. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Kind of wind this thing down, but let me show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read verse 21, 22, and 23. It says, therefore, let no one boast in men. If you go back and read this in context, it talks about not deceiving yourself if you think you're wise in the system of this world. Amen. The devil thought he was wise, but he found out he was just a wise guy. Amen. Now look. What does it say? Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Amen. I miss Paul's in Selah. All things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, are things present, are things to come, all are yours.
Some of you acting like you've never seen that in the Bible before. All things are yours. All things in the earth, all things in the heaven, all things pertaining to life and godliness, 1 Peter 2, says all things are yours. Uh-huh.
Amen.
What does that mean?
All.
Well, it means all things are mine. Now, yeah, we need to qualify. We need to. We're not going to get over in sin, and live in a lustful situation, a sinful life, and stand up and declare all things are mine. Freely, God has given me everything to enjoy. No. He said, all things are yours. But how do you receive all things? Well, you got to go back and see, your knowledge is being compiled this morning. Some of you, you don't get in on Wednesday, so you miss so much in this church, because we've spent 3 weeks talking about wisdom and how that, we receive information, but the information is in the form of knowledge. But just because we have knowledge, we don't have wisdom. But you see, you got to start with knowledge. And so he said, all things are yours. Well, let's just go all the way back. Most of you are saved, aren't you? How did you receive salvation? How did you receive salvation? You had to hear a word. You received the word and you became saved. You believe that you receive. Salvation is pretty simple, isn't it? He said, all things are yours. Salvation was there all the time, but you had to believe it in order to receive it.
Amen.
Well, what about healing? 1 Peter 2 and 24. What does it say? It says, he himself bore our sins. It says, and having died to sins, might live for righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. New King James. Now listen to me. In God's mind, you already are healed. In God's mind, you already are saved. But you got to receive it. You got to receive your healing. There was a man, you can write down the reference, we're running out of time. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, where a leper came to Jesus and asked him and said, I know it's your will to heal me, but will you? See, he wasn't asking in doubt, not believing that Jesus could do it. He said, can you do it for me? And what did Jesus answer? Yes, I can. I will. See, once we know the will of God, then we can begin to act on it, because faith requires an action. Are you listening to me? See, what did that man do in order to receive his healing? He had to operate or exercise what? Faith. He had to believe what God was saying. But most of the church, listen, most of the church is operating in such an ignorance of what God's will is, they can't even get close to a level of great faith.
Amen.
Don't shout me down now, because I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you that if you don't know the will of God, you can't operate in very, very much faith.
Amen.
Because once you know what the will of God is, then there's no foe that can stand against you.
Amen.
What happens is that we allow enemies to rob us of the will of God.
Amen.
What happened to Adam and Eve? Go all the way back to the garden. When Adam sinned, what happened? He ran and hid from God. And God finally confronted him and called him out and said, Adam, where are you? He said, I was afraid. Uh-oh. Afraid? So I went and hid myself, and I, now listen to this,
I clothe myself. Who told you you were naked, Adam? Do you realize before Adam sinned that God was doing everything, providing everything for Adam?
Yes. Amen.
Everything. Protection, clothing. When Adam sinned, he had to learn how to feed himself.
Amen.
When Adam sinned, he began to operate in fear. What's fear? Fear is the opposite of faith.
Amen.
Fear is what moves the hand of the devil. Faith is what moves the hand of God.
Amen.
If we're going to operate in fear, then we're not going to be able to operate in faith.
Amen.
Now, some of you today, you need to repent because you're afraid of things. When you're afraid of things, you're in sin.
Amen.
You say, why am I in sin? Because you're in fear.
Amen.
You're in fear. You're afraid of losing something. You're afraid to give because you might not have enough. You're afraid in your marriage because you'll be out there, you know. Hey, when you're operating in fear, you can't operate in faith. What does the Bible say? You know, Job said, I greatly feared the thing that came upon me. Why did it come upon him? Because he greatly feared. First Timothy tells us God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? But what? Love, power, and a sound mind. Here's the church operating in fear. So if you're going to have great faith, you're going to have to get out of fear, folks.
Amen.
See, what was God doing? He was looking for a man that would totally trust him, that he could come to a place in his life where he trusted God totally to provide, to protect, and to bless. That's what he was doing for Adam. And Adam lost it all. So he called another man by the name of Abram. Changed his name to Abraham. Found somebody in the earth that would trust him and believe him. That's why the Bible says it was imputed or counted to him for righteousness. But not only to him, but to us who believe. All things are yours. Well, what about riches and what about wealth? Well, Psalms 12 says riches and wealth are in the house of the righteous.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Some folks, you know, they're looking on the outside to get a miracle when the miracle is on the inside. Everything you need is on the inside, remember? Okay. Now let me just give you these things in closing, because some of you gotta learn to talk right. When you get the Word of God, you'll talk different.
Amen.
Some of you are saying, oh, I'm too old. I'm getting too old. Hey, shut that up.
Amen.
Abraham was 130-something after Sarah died and got him another wife. Had more children. I'm telling you, when you get on faith, I mean, God can make a way.
Amen.
Are you here? All right. Now let me. How many of you? Let me just give you these characteristics. You can jot these down, okay? I don't have time to preach on them all today. First of all, signs and wonders are going to follow us. Quit looking for the signs and wonders. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs 13:22 says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
Amen.
Now, we just read in 1 Corinthians 3 that all things are ours.
Amen.
So they're laying it up, and while they're heaping it up, guess who it's coming into? Okay, we're going to have to stay in faith. But not just faith, we're going to have to develop great faith.
Okay? Start getting, here, let me give you these things right quick. Start getting the small victories first. Now, this is for some of you. Hey, start getting your victories first in your prayer closet. The reason you have trouble in public displaying faith is because you've never won the victories in your private or in your prayer closet. You're having trouble binding the devil. See, if you're in fear this morning, here's the first thing you got to do is repent.
Amen.
When you repent, you start with a clean slate.
Amen.
Then you got to make a confession. And then you got to bind and loose. Once I repent, then I'm free. And say, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I bind this spirit of fear off of my life. I bind this spirit of intimidation that I can't look somebody in the eye. I bind this spirit of fear that I won't have enough. I bind this spirit of fear that I'll be left alone. I bind this spirit I'm afraid of flying. You bind because you have the power and the authority to bind. And once you have that bound, then you begin to lose. What are you going to lose? Well, lose everything you need. Lose courage. Lose strength. Lose happiness. Lose joy to flow in your life. Are you with me? But you're going to have to learn to develop that in your closet time so you can do it out there in your public time, because I got some news for you. The devil don't just attack you when you're in your closet. But some of you got to learn to get to victory there in the small areas. Then you can start standing up and taking it in the big areas. And here's the other one. Remember that the Word, remember I already told you some of these things. Remember that the Word is almost too good to be true. And we have to be careful, church, because just casually reading the Word, when you read things like we just read, all things are yours. We don't pay any attention to it, and we just read right over it. And then there we are in lack and want and need. And didn't God say, I will meet all of your need according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus? Hey, all things are mine. All things. Yeah, but I need a car. Who made the bumper? Who made the leather? Who made the vinyl? Who made the metal? Who made the tires? If God made it, then all things are yours.
Amen.
Saying, well, you're getting a little out there now, aren't you?
No.
I'm just learning to be a man operating in great faith.
Amen.
Learning how to release the angels. You think there's any shortage in heaven?
No.
Do you think God has any money problems today? But certainly a lot of the church people do. Come on, somebody. Power flow. Because let me tell you, all things are mine. You know why you don't get it, a lot of you? Because it takes revelation.
Amen.
As long as you're in bed eating pizza and watch the stomach turns, you are not going to get revelation that all things are yours. Come on, you are not going to get revelation sitting home worrying about your problems instead of coming here getting what you need to get rid of that problem, because everything you need is already in here. Power flows, and I've already told you this, power flows and faith begins when the will of God is known. If I can see it, then bless God, I can believe it. If I can believe it, I can receive it. If I can receive it, I can stand till I can say, there it is.
Amen.
There it is. Are y'all getting this? Come on. There it is. There it is. And then lastly, it says, you don't have, no, oh yeah, this is a good one. If you don't have enough faith by yourself right now, at least have sense enough to join yourself with somebody that has faith. Don't look at me in that sourpuss face. Listen to me. Find somebody that has great faith to believe with you.
Don't get your mama that says, well, you know you can't do that. Say, mama, I love you. But you're walking in the low life. Find somebody walking in the high life to agree and to believe with you. Hallelujah. I'm stopping. The ushers are waving me off. And lastly, remember where to get wisdom. Hey. I said, remember that your wisdom is not from man, but your wisdom is from God. How do I get wisdom, Pastor? Well, get the 3 CDs I taught 3 hours on how to get it and how to bring it up and how to use it and how to bring it into a usable force for your life. Well, I wouldn't hear. Well, now you can go to the internet. You don't even have to buy it. See, God's crying out, what? To pour wisdom into the church. But where's the church? God wants you to have it more than you want to get it.
Amen.
All he's looking for somebody that will stand up and declare, my God is well able. What my God has said, he is able to perform it. Come on, somebody. My God is able to perform it. Did y'all get anything out of that? How to develop great faith. How many of you believe you need great faith? Amen. Come on, let's all stand up on our feet just a minute. You've been sitting. I just love to talk about faith. Hallelujah. I just love to talk about the Word of God. Help people. God's called us, we and I, just to help people. I said Wednesday night, I can't think of anything worse than to get into a position in life and not know what to do. Yet we run into people almost every day. What do I do, Pastor? What do I do? Well, you could start by coming to church.